Tonight, I'm going to invite you to open the scriptures. If you have a Bible, if you don't, it's okay. I'll read it. It's in the book of Luke, chapter 15. And as I read, I want to read one portion so we can know what is the background of this story. It says in here, chapter 15, verse 1 in Luke, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And then the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eat with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, and I'm going to go to the parable that I want to share with you, which is in verse 11. And then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, then arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but no one gave him anything. Father God, I thank you for this privilege you've given me today, God. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the word that you've already spoken and what you're doing in the midst of us. Right now, I ask you, God, that you will touch my lips, that you will do your perfect will as you plan it, God, and that you will open the hearts, and that no one that is in this place will leave this place without knowing that you love them, Father God, without knowing that you have brought him here tonight for a purpose to deliver them and to set them free and to establish your love for them, Father God. I thank you for your word. In your name, I pray. Amen. Jesus was talking to the people, a crowd, a multitude, hungry to know the truth. And among this gathering of people, some people came that were kind of different to the regular people. They were the tax collectors, people that everybody hated, the sinners. And when I'm talking about sinners, I'm talking about people that had a lifestyle that was different than, quote unquote, the rest. It was very obvious that they were different. A couple of years, we were doing a presentation in here about the cross and the switchblade, and some of our brothers had to disguise as gang members, you know, and look very rough. And we remember that when we went to Colorado, before we started the presentation, the pastor, Pastor Gary Wilkerson, said, hey, guys, we just wanted to let you know we have a presentation. Some people are going to come and dress differently, so we just want to let you know. Because over there in Colorado, the people carry guns, you know? So we came, the gangsters were coming from the background, you know, and making noise, so we didn't even want to shoot any of the actors, you know? They look different. And we remember when we came into it, you know, you could see the people turning around. We did it in here, too. And people reacted because the people came rough. It was very, very obvious that they were different. So this was happened in the time of when Jesus speaking. These rough people came from different backgrounds, different lifestyles. And tonight I've come to tell you that I'm one of them. Sometimes we don't have the appearance of a sinner because maybe we look nice, clean, cut, and everything. But you know what? When we're talking about sin, it has to do with issues of the heart. But the most beautiful thing that is, doesn't matter how you look outside, how you look inside, Jesus is the heart, and Jesus welcomes everybody. Doesn't matter the color, doesn't matter your look, doesn't matter your past. He says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. So in this story, once the people came, they looked different. Those ones that were religious started to complain and say, well, we were having a good time, just Jesus, you talking, and why these people need to come? But Jesus loved not only the sinners and the tax collectors, but he also loved those Pharisees. And he came in and talked about several stories, but the one that I want to share, that Jesus shared, was about a father that loved his children so much. He had two boys, but the younger started getting unhappy. You know, a seed of discontentment started in his heart. I don't know how you are. I have a family. We're three children. I'm the younger. So I know sometimes the younger ones, we want to do our own thing, you know, because our brothers are always telling us, do this and do that, you know. So I can identify with that younger brother. But he had everything that the father wanted to give him. He had a wonderful family. There was no need in their home. Everything was economically stable. But something in his heart started changing. All of a sudden, he didn't like the way how his father did things. He was upset maybe that he didn't have the things that he wanted at that moment. He grew up unhappy to the point that he came to his father and he demanded. And he said, you know, I don't want to be here. Practically what he said, I wish you would be dead, because if you will be dead, I will get my portion. But because you're still alive, I want my portion now. And this is what happened, that the father had a broken heart when he saw his children, his son, wanted to go away from him. But he did what his son requested. He divided the property between the two children. And this young man left the house real soon. He packed up, sold everything that needed it, and got all the money and left to a far country. And when I think about this story, I think about what Brother Jerry was talking this afternoon, about how God created a garden for the men and the women, the first men and women, and everything was perfect. There was no need. They didn't need to do nothing, just to have rest, do put names to the animals, to enjoy life. But there was a seed of discontentment that came into their hearts. A seed that an enemy coming and telling them, did God really said that you're not supposed to eat of any of these trees? But that wasn't true. God never said that. God said, you can eat of everything except for one. But the enemy comes and starts putting seed of discontentment in the heart. And to the point that the first man and the first woman decided to go away from the very one that loved them. The very one that had wonderful plans. The very one who had created them. And they disobey. And the Bible says when disobedience came into the world, death came to all men, because all of us have sinned. This son decided to go to a very far country, away from the principles of his father, away from whatever reminded him of him. And in that place, he took the money and started wasting it. The Bible said that he scattered his money, he started spending it without mind, without sobriety, just wasting it and wasting it and wasting it, to the point that he was left with nothing. And I'll tell you, I get heartbroken when I go and see in the streets people with talents, with things that God has given them, being wasted away. Because you see, the enemy has come to kill, to rob, and to destroy. And you have this to look outside, or maybe you can take a look at your life and see how destroyed we can become when the enemy comes and destroys us and rob us the very things that God has given you, to give you life, the very nurturing, the very support that God has given you. The enemy comes and steals it and robs it. And this is what happened with this young man. He lost everything with a riotous living, wasting everything to the point that he was left with nothing, with rags, no shoes, empty. And all that he wanted, that he thought it was fulfill him, it didn't come to nothing. Like our brothers and sisters who have shared, the emptiness was still there. Because I'll tell you, that emptiness cannot be filled with money, with prosperity, with things. It can only be filled with the presence of God. And tonight, if you have an empty heart, I'm coming to tell you that Jesus wants to fill it. Jesus wants to heal you. He wants to restore you, bring peace, bring establishment into your heart if you let him. The Bible says that men sinned. There was no way people could come to God. But the Bible says that God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, where he was tortured, where they put nails in his hands. And he did it because there was no way you and I could have access to God. That was no way. The Bible says that we all are sinners, and the pay of our actions is death, eternal death. But those who believe in God and those who accept him as the Lord and Savior can receive eternal life. Going back to the story, this young man was so empty, lonely. All the friends that maybe he had at that time went away because the money had already run out. And then he was in need. And unfortunately, in the same city, a famine came. Hunger was everywhere. People were hungry. And nobody was thinking about helping these young men. Everybody was looking for whatever they need. And the Bible says that he went and joined himself with this citizen of that city. And I'll tell you, the enemy doesn't only want to come and rob you. He wants to destroy you. He had already robbed his money by the wasting his money, what he was doing. But also, the enemy was after his identity. His identity as a son. His identity as a Jewish boy, which he was. Everything that meant good for him, the enemy was after that. And the Bible says that he joined himself with a people, with a person that lived in the city. You see, that country was far away from what he had been brought up. He had brought up with principles. He had been brought up with the word of God. But now he was away from that. And these other men didn't respect him. They didn't even care about this man. And when he asked him for employment, he gave the lowest thing that he had. He really didn't meant to give him the best. He gave her the worst, which was feeding pigs. And in the culture of the Jewish, the pigs, they were the worst animal, the unclean animal. And to think that he was going to go and work and clean and feed these animals meant a very, very embarrassing employment. But this man was so desperate because he was hungry. And I'll tell you, when we go away from the Lord, when we walk away from Jesus, when we walk away from what God had established, we start making alliances in the world with people that we never thought we were going to get together. And we start doing things that we never thought we were going to end up. And that's what sin does. You might think, you know, I'm doing good right now. I'm okay. But when you open the door to the enemy, he doesn't just take you to hurt you. He wants to come and destroy you, to kill you, to annihilate you, to rob your identity. And there he was, this young Jewish boy, doing the worst that he could ever think, taking care of the pigs. There was a point that he was so hungry that as he saw the pigs, he was longing to eat their food. Now, you have to think about being in a famine. When you're in a famine, you can eat anything that you have to eat, whatever it looks like food. But these pigs were the most low animals that you can find. And so I want you to think, what was the food that these pigs were eating? And I'll tell you, that's what the enemy wants you. He wants to lower you to end up eating the garbage that the world offers. That's how low we can come. He was longing to eat that. But unfortunately, not even that was given. The plan of the enemy was to destroy him, to kill him out of hunger. But I thank God that in the mud, I can imagine this man surrounded by mud, feeding these animals. All dirty, destitute, poor, in rags. All of a sudden he came to his senses and he thought about his father. He thought about the loving father that he had despised. The father that he had put in ridicule because he had put his father to shame, not only in the relationship, but into the community. How he had dared to ask for his inheritance when this father was still alive. But he thought, even the servants of my father have a good food. And there's plenty of bread. If I just go and ask my father for forgiveness and ask him to receive me, not like a son, but at least as an employee. And the Bible says that he arose. And I'll tell you, I thank God that this man came to the lowest of his points and that he was still in his senses because he took the best decision, and that was to go back to his father. And that's what we call repentance. Repentance is when I'm going in one direction and then I turn back from that direction. He was going towards destruction. And I'll tell you, he didn't have much days because you cannot be going hungry for a long time. You have only a few days. And perhaps tonight you are like this young man. You are hungry. You're desperate. And I'm telling you, your time is short. Your time is short. You are here today, but tomorrow you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And God is telling you, come to me. Come to me because I want to restore you. I want to save you. I want to heal you. I want to deliver you. Hallelujah. This young man rose, the Bible says. He rose and went back. And not only he said, I'm going to go back to my father. He started thinking, I'm going to repent. I'm going to confess what I have done wrong. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe in your heart that he died and rose from the dead, you shall be saved. Because it's not only about thinking, it's about also taking an action, turning back from those bad ways, and not only that, going to God and confess to him what you have done wrong. This man went to his father, and he was just thinking, I believe, all in rags, all dirty, all weak, because he had not eaten. He was walking perhaps long, very slow. And then his father lived very far from the place he had gone. Because remember, he had gone to a very far country. But he went on his way. And the Bible says in here, which I just love in the scripture, says in here that he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. I'll tell you, many of us today and tonight may be feeling very weak, and you say, I know I need to go closer to my father. And you're trying to make your way towards him, but you're walking slow. You're discouraged. You don't have the strength. But I'll tell you, my heavenly father who loves you so much, he can see you, feed you from far. The Bible says that this father saw his son from far. Now, this son didn't look like the same as when he left. But I'll tell you, a real father recognizes his children no matter where they are, no matter the state. And today and tonight, I don't know how your condition is. Perhaps outside you're looking good, but inside you're broken. Inside you're desperate. You're lonely. You're depressed. I'm telling you, the Father's eyes are upon you, and he sees you in the distance, and he wants you. The Bible says that this father had compassion. He had pity. When he saw the condition of his son, his heart yearned for him, because the father's heart yearns for his children. When he sees you doing drugs, when he sees you involved in relationships that are not illicit, when he sees you doing actions, it breaks his heart, but his love doesn't change. He still loves you, even when you're messing up, even if you're going to mess up tomorrow. The love, the father loves you, and his heart yearns and loves you. The Bible says that when the father saw him, he had compassion. And the Bible says that he ran. He ran. This was an elderly man. He ran to go towards his son. You can imagine the love that this father had. It wasn't appropriate for an older man to run. But the love, the desperation, the yearning for this son that was lost made him run. I had heard in the radio a scholar that studies the Jewish traditions. He said that perhaps in this story, the fact that the father ran, it is because this son had been of a shame to him and had offended him and also the community. Because in these towns, people were working in communities. And most likely, if this son would come back to the area, the community were going to go and grab stones and kill him because he had dishonored the father. But the father ran because he said, no, I don't want more harm to this of my son. I want to protect him. I want to let him know that I love him. I want to let him know that I care for him. And I'm come tonight and I tell you, it doesn't matter how dirty you're coming. It doesn't matter how much you have messed up and continue messing up. The Father is running to you, and he's stretching his arms, and he's hugging you, and he's kissing you, because he loved you. He cares for you, and he is willing to take you back no matter you stay, no matter how low you have come, even if you have lost your identity, even if you look all destroyed, the Father loves is there to reach you because he cares and he loves you. The son was coming all dirty, hungry, in rags, in pieces, unrecognizable for other people. But he came and hugged him, the Bible says, and kissed him. He must have been smelling bad, I imagine. But the father didn't care. That was his son who he had been longing. And I wonder how come he saw it. Most likely because the father was waiting for his son every day. And I tell you, since the moment that you left God, my father hasn't stopped loving you. My father hasn't stopped waiting for you. And tonight, my father is here present, and he's waiting for you to come back home. He said, come back home, just as you are. I'm receiving you. I'm accepting you. It doesn't matter your condition, because I am the one who changes. I am the one who restores you. I am the one who redeems you. That's the father love. Couple of months ago, I don't remember, maybe a year, I parked my car in some place in the 12th Avenue, went, got something that I needed to purchase and change. When I came back, my car was gone. My heart started like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I needed the car to go to work the next day. And I called, I didn't know what to call. I asked people, thank God some people were there, and they said, why don't you call this number? And I call, and yes, they had taken my car. And they had told, I don't know how you say it, but they took the car to some place, some piers over here. My mother doesn't know, so please don't tell my mother. Oh, I can't. She's going to spank me. Anyway, I was so hot. I have lost my car. You see, this is my vehicle, and I need this car. And I went, and they told me, yes, you park in a place that you were not supposed to park. And then I was like, okay. And I had to pay a lot of money. Oh, my gosh. But you know what? I needed my car. And I remember when I paid the money and everything, they gave me a paper. And the guy put a stamp, and he said, redeem. And I said, wow, I redeemed my car. And I thank God, because when I saw the redeem, I thought about myself and I said, you know, I'm just like this car. And my father loves me so much. I'll tell you, I wasn't going to leave my car over there. Are you crazy? No. I went and looked for the car. I was desperate. But this is just a vehicle. Now think about how much more I'm living life like you. How much more for my father. He's desperate for you. Of course, he's going to do anything that he can do. In fact, he already did. The Bible says that the God loves so much the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave the best that he had. He gave the most precious gift that you can ever receive. Why? Because he loved you and he paid the price. And I tell you, I have a stamp in my forehead. I have a stamp that says redeemed. I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid a high price for me. I'm not $100 worth. I'm worth the blood of Jesus. When he went to Calvary, when they tortured him, when they put nails in his hands, when they beat him up, I am worth the blood of Jesus. I am precious, and so are you. And Jesus is saying, I come to pay. Would you come out of that parking place? I took out my car, and I was so grateful. And God made a miracle, because 3 days later, a brother found out, a friend of mine says, Carla, God tells me in my heart to give you this money. And I was like, well, thank you. God is so merciful, even in my mistakes. But Jesus paid the price for you. And the Bible says, because of the joy set before him, knowing that you and I were going to be delivered, he endured the cross. As they were beating him, he said, it is worth. It is worth. And if you were the only person tonight that needed salvation, Jesus said, it's worth. Because when he was telling the story about the son, they were sinners. There's people that people told him, there's no hope for you. For you, prostitute, no hope. For you, drug addict, no hope. For you, adulterer, no hope. But Jesus said, oh, yes, there is hope. And that's why he had to tell the story. And the Bible says that when he came and gave him a hug, he was all dirty in rags. And then the son came and he apologized and he said, Father, I have sinned against you, against heaven and against you. I don't deserve to be called your son. But the father said, oh, no, You are my son. Immediately he called the servant and says, please bring the best, most expensive outfit that we have. In that time they were robes, and they brought the most expensive outfit and put it on him. Now, I'll tell you, I couldn't see the logic. I was telling God, why would you give him a very nice outfit? Wouldn't you just wash him first, put perfume on him? But then God explained to me, and I said, no. He said, no, because what God is trying to tell you, that you can try to wash yourself, but you will always have the stink of the pigs. Because I tell you, only Jesus can cleanse you. Only Jesus can purify you. Only Jesus can make you new. And the Bible said that Jesus has given us the robe of salvation. We are clothed in his righteousness. So that even if you try to do great things, nothing of your effort will ever merit you that cleansiness of Jesus. But he put the best robe. And I tell you tonight, you had the best robe to put on if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you allow him to embrace you and to dress you in his righteousness. Because the Bible says that when God sees you, he doesn't see you as the dirty men that feed the pigs. He sees you as Christ, pure, precious, because Jesus has already paid the price, because you are already redeemed, no matter the state that you may find yourself in. Not only they put the robe on this son, but the Bible says that he came and called the servants and said, please put the ring. They got a ring that meant you are restored back to your position as a son. You get back your authority. You continue to be my son. Nothing has changed. You are the same son. That means that you have the authority. But he still was looking all dirty, and now he has the robe and his finger. In the old times, the servants, the higher servants, would walk without shoes. That's how you knew he was, or that person was a servant. But he said, no, come and bring the sandals, because this is my son who was dead and now is alive. Hallelujah. Let's give a clap to the Lord. Oh, thank you, Father, that you restore us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In that time, in that ancient time, they always had a specific animal that they were feeding. This animal was only going to be prepared for a big celebration. And I'll tell you, the father said that they had the animal, who knows how many years they were feeding this animal. It was a fatted cat, the Bible says. And the father said, go and kill the fatted cat. God, because we're going to celebrate and get happy and rejoice, because my son had been restored. And as we were listening, the brothers from our continent of Africa worshiping the Lord, I just imagine how they started rejoicing and having a party. And the Bible says that when one sinner comes to Jesus, there's a rejoicing in heaven. And I'll tell you, we may have fun in here, we may party, but this very cannot compare to the rejoicing that we have in heaven when one person comes to the Lord. Because I tell you, doesn't matter if you're 3, 5, 7, 70 years old, doesn't matter. One soul that gets saved makes a rejoicing in the heaven. The Bible says that the angels rejoice when one soul comes to the Lord. But let's be realistic in this life. Those people that have seen you don't do mistakes, those people that saw you falling down are still alive. And I'll tell you, there will always be people pointing out and say, yeah, you're now dressed up, but you are a dirty person. I saw you doing this. I saw you doing that. And that's what has happening in this story. There was the community that most likely could have thrown stones at him and remember what he did. There were also a family member that was in there, that when he heard the noise in the party, he was coming from the field and says, what's going on in here? They told him, your brother came back. But he got very upset. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of religion people that they see you, they can't stand you, because they have an outward appearance of goodness, but inside they had troubles. And when the truth came, when the heart of the father was revealed, there was a father with a heart of compassion and love and tenderness. we can also see this older brother. And perhaps you have had bad experiences with people that are religious. But I'll tell you, Jesus says, doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what people say. I am here to restore you. I am here to love you and to make you whole. I'm going to invite you to stand up right now. The Bible says that this son got very upset to see his father celebrating. He said, how can you do this for this son of yours? He didn't want to say that he had a relationship with him. He looked down on him. And who knows? Perhaps that brother was the very reason why he left home. We never know. There's a lot of people that use the name of God but come and hurt others. But that's what God says, that we have to put our eyes on Jesus. We have to put our eyes in the author and finisher of our faith. And tonight, God is saying, come to me. I want to restore you. Come. You can't change yourself. But if you let me change you, I'm going to put a robe on you. I'm going to give you the ring. I'm going to put shoes on your feet. God is calling you. I'm going to invite you to come to the front. It doesn't matter your state. God says, come to me. I want to pray for you. We want to make a prayer. If you want God to change your heart and you're wondering, I don't even know how to do it, God is saying, come to me. For the people that are watching us in the internet, God is also calling you. So I'm also inviting you to come and join us and to pray with us as we invite Jesus into our hearts. And we say, God, come into my life. I'm going to invite you also to ask the person next to you, would you like to come to with me to the front? Sometimes it can be very intimidating to come into a place. But you can ask the person right now and say, come. Because Jesus is saying, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow it can be too late. And God is desperate, longing, and yearning for you. So I invite you to come into the front. Doesn't matter from the balcony. Come in here. I'm expecting you to come in here. And I want to pray for you. If you have a need, if you're desperate, if you don't understand, if you feel empty, today is telling you, the Lord is telling you, I'm going to fill you. I'm going to restore you. But today is the night, so don't waste your time. Come unto the Lord. He's yearning for you. He's begging for you. He wants to heal you. He's running to you. You don't have the energy. You don't have the strength. He says, come. I'm going to restore you. There's a lot of people in here tonight that God wants to restore you, and you know you are the person. Come and let the Lord heal and restore you. When the Lord spoke to me to talk about this issue of the father's heart, I said to the Lord, me, Lord, because I didn't grow up with a father. I always had I was looking always at families with dads and moms and wondering how it was, you know. But as I grew up, I experienced the love of a father. Because God said, I am your father. I'm going to be your father. I'm going to be always with you. And you know, sometimes I have done so many mistakes in my life. And I always feel the arms of my father always coming to me, never putting me down, always lifting me up and say, I understand. And I tell you, this evening, God understands your pain. And maybe you feel like you haven't had a father, or maybe you had bad examples of parents, but the Father is here tonight and He wants to heal you and restore you. And I know there's still people in the audience, but I'm going to also invite you to pray alone, even if you were not able to make it in here because you felt weak, uncomfortable, unfit, just like this son. But you know what? God understands, and He says, you're not able to make it. I come to you, says the Lord. I come to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for your love, Jesus. Thank you that you love us, God, when we mess up, Lord. Thank you, God, that you see, God, your finished plan in our lives, God. Hallelujah. Thank you for these people here in the front, God. I ask you, God, that you will restore their hearts. You will restore what the enemy robbed, God. And that you will bring your healing, Lord. As we pray, I'm going to invite you to repeat after me and say with me, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me for everything that I have done. Tonight, I invite you to come into my heart. I ask you that you will heal me, restore me, bring back my dignity, take away my shame, and restore me, Lord. I ask you for your peace that will fill my heart and fill me with your Holy Spirit and teach me to walk this way with you on my side. I thank you that you are my Father, and now I'm your daughter and son. I thank you for your love, and thank you for suffering to bring me life. I receive you today as my Lord and Savior of my life. In your name I pray. And Father, I ask you, God, for these people in here right now, God, that you will come and heal, God. I ask you that you will erase every lie of the enemy, Father God. Every attack, every word that has risen against them, Father, accusing them in the name of Jesus. Every accusation, I brought it out in the power of Jesus, because you have already paid the price. And I ask you, God, for anybody that needs healing in this evening, God, restoration, whether it is physical, emotional, God, I ask you that you will heal them, Father God. Touch them by the power of Jesus, because you are after them to restore them and to make them whole, Lord. I thank you for your presence, and I thank you for what you started. And I know that right now, God, there is a great party in heaven, Lord. The Bible said the angels rejoice, God. And tonight, heaven is having a party because these beautiful people have come to receive you, God. We give you glory, and we thank you, God. In your name we pray. Amen.